Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey Southeast Chapter of Score, here is your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. A few weeks ago, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal's innovation section titled, Why Bosses Should Ask Employees to Do Less, Not More, by Dr. Robert I. Sutton. Dr. Sutton is a professor in the Department of Management Science and Engineering at Stanford University. He also is the co-author of Scaling Up Excellence, Getting More Without Settling for Less, with Huggy Rao. The book was a Wall Street Journal and Publishers Weekly bestseller. It was selected as one of the best business books of the year by Amazon, the Financial Times Incorporated, the Globe and Mail, and Library Journal. In this article, Dr. Sutton professes that, and I quote, when leaders are undisciplined about piling on staff, gizmos, software, meetings, rules, training, and management fads, organizations become too complicated, their people overwhelmed and exhausted, and their resources are spread so thin that all their work suffers. He also says that subtraction clears our minds and gives us more to focus on what really counts. It sets the stage for creative work, giving us the space to fret, fail, discuss, argue about, and experiment with crazy ideas. The ideas that can transform a company and make employees happier and more productive. That struck a nerve with me. When I was in the corporate world, there was always the pressure to do more and better work. We were always going to meetings to determine how to do something new, going to training classes to learn the latest gizmo or software, or how to motivate our employees to do more work. Dr. Sutton gives the example of 20 studies done by the University of Virginia's Gabrielle Adams and her colleagues. The studies found that addition is the default mode of problem solving. They found that when they asked students, faculty, and staff for suggestions about improving the place, only 11 entailed subtractions. The rest were additions. Sutton says the best things leaders can do is to impose constraints that make excessive additions impossible or difficult. He feels that at the same time, they should create some kind of rule that requires or presses employees to consider subtraction, what he calls the simple subtraction rule. A 2019 study found that working long hours can be dangerous for mental health and physical health. Overwork has been linked to everything from poor communication skills and decreased productivity to impaired sleep and depression. Yet despite this, employees are working more and longer hours. According to recent surveys, modern workers are putting in longer hours than at any time since statistics have been kept. With increasing pressure to perform, higher expectations, and more competition, productivity is more important than ever to employees and leaders alike. A data team at Rescue Time, a company that helps you take back control of your time, analyzed 185 million hours of working time. They discovered that most workers average about 2 hours and 48 minutes of productive time per day, a far cry from the 8 hours we all think we have. And because employees have less time for productive work than they think during the workday, many end up taking work home. In fact, Rescue Time found that 26% of all work is done outside of normal working hours. Whether it's the fault of the organization's management style or hustle culture, overworked employees are getting burned out. They're stressed, unfocused, and distracted, which means they'll end up working longer hours but getting less done in that time. In other words, more hours worked doesn't necessarily mean more or better output. In fact, the easiest way to help an overworked team be more productive may be to help them work less. That got me to thinking, being a small business owner is a very time-consuming job. Consider a small business owner who works nonstop. Working hard won't help him compete with his corporate competitors. That's because time is a limited commodity. An entrepreneur could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but his or her competitor can always spend more money, assemble a team, and spend a lot more collective man-hours on the same project. Then why have small startups accomplished things that some larger corporations couldn't? Facebook bought Instagram, a company with 13 employees at the time, for $1 billion. Snapchat, a startup with 30 employees, was turning down offers from Facebook and Google. Part of each of their successes was based on luck and some on efficiency. The key to success is not working hard, it's working smart. There's a notable distinction between being busy and being productive. Being busy doesn't always necessarily mean you're being productive. Despite what some might believe, being productive is less about time management and more about managing your energy. It's the business of life. It's learning how to spend the least amount of energy to get the most benefits. How can a small business owner subtract or do less and be more productive? So I went searching for ways that could be accomplished. Here's what I came up with. These suggestions may not work for everyone, but they are certainly worth a try. My first suggestion is, stop working overtime and increase your productivity instead. Have you ever wondered where the 5-day, 40-hour workweek came from? In 1926, Henry Ford, American industrialist and founder of Ford Motor Company, conducted an experiment with his staff. He decreased their daily hours from 10 to 8 and shortened the workweek from 6 days to 5. As a result, he saw his workers' productivity increase. The more you work, the less effective and productive you become over both the short and long term. That is from a 1980 report from the Business Roundtable titled Scheduled Overtime Effect on Construction Projects. In the Revay report of November 2001, it was found that, quote, where a work schedule of 60 or more hours per week is continued longer than about 2 months, the cumulative effect of decreased productivity will cause a delay in the completion date beyond that which could have been realized with the same size crew on a 40-hour workweek. Think about this as well. Research conducted by the U.S. military revealed that losing just 1 hour of sleep per night for a week will cause a level of cognitive degradation equivalent to a 0.10 blood alcohol level. That's above the legal limit in New Jersey and just about every other state. If you were not your own boss, you could get fired for coming into work drunk. But it's acceptable to pull an all-nighter? It's unlikely that you felt especially upbeat and joyous about the world after the most recent night without sleep. Your more negative than usual perspective will have resulted from a generalized low mood, which is a normal consequence of being overtired. More important than just the mood, this mindset is often accompanied by decreases in willingness to work and act proactively, control impulses, feeling positive about yourself, empathizing with others, and generally using emotional intelligence. That observation comes from the book The Secret World of Sleep, The Surprising Science of the Mind at Rest by Penelope Lewis, published in 2013. It's important for us not to overwork ourselves and get enough sleep to maintain a high level of productivity. Next time you're wondering why you may not be working productively, the reason may be as simple as you being deprived of adequate sleep. James Moss, a sleep researcher and expert, revealed that at least 7 out of every 10 Americans don't get enough sleep. In his post, 5 Reasons Why You Should Take a Nap Every Day, on the website fullfocus.co, Michael Hyatt gives these interesting facts. Leonardo da Vinci took multiple naps a day and slept less at night. The French Emperor Napoleon was not shy about taking naps. He indulged daily. Though Thomas Edison was embarrassed about his napping habit, he also practiced this ritual on a daily basis. Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, used to boost her energy before speaking engagements by napping. Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, routinely took naps in his dressing room between performances. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy ate his lunch in bed and then settled in for a nap every day. Oil industrialist and philanthropist John D. Rockefeller napped every afternoon in his office. Winston Churchill's afternoon nap was a non-negotiable. He believed it helped him get twice as much done each day. President Lyndon B. Johnson took a nap every afternoon at 3:30 in order to break his day into 2 shifts. Though he was criticized for it, President Ronald Reagan famously took naps as well. When I was working in the corporate world, I usually got 6 hours of sleep a night. When I started my consulting practice, I was able to get 7 to 8 hours a night. I noticed a change almost immediately. I became a lot more productive. I got a lot more work done in comparison to when I was working 12 to 14 hours a day. So in this instance, getting more, not less sleep, will increase your productivity. My next suggestion is, don't say yes too often. Remember the Pareto principle, 20% of the effort produces 80% of the results? However, 20% of the results consumes 80% of the effort. Instead of working harder, focus primarily on the efforts that produce the majority of the results and forego the rest. That way, you have more time to focus on the most important tasks. Stop saying yes to tasks that yield little or no result. Warren Buffett said, "The difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything." So what should you say yes to? And when should you say no? If you can't figure out if something is going to be worth your time, consider running a simple test. Consider tracking everything you do and the time it takes to complete each task and the results. Then go back, assess your list to see what did or didn't prove fruitful. Then take your findings into consideration to optimize your future tasks. Most of us say yes more often than we should. We do it for a variety of reasons, including guilt and overstretching ourselves, but also because it's so much easier than saying no. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Consumer researchers did a study with 120 students. They published their results in a 2012 edition of the Journal of Consumer Research. They split them into two groups. One group was trained to use the phrase, "I can't," when discussing the specific choice. The other was trained to use "I don't" in framing their decision. The students who told themselves, "I can't eat the chocolate candy bar," chose to eat the chocolate candy bar 61% of the time. Meanwhile, the students who told themselves, "I don't eat the chocolate candy bar," chose to eat the chocolate candy bars only 36% of the time. This simple change in phrasing improved the odds that each person would make a more healthy food choice. Next time you need to avoid saying yes, use "I don't" in your refusal. This will reinforce the helpful behavior of saying no to things that aren't worth it. In his book, The Happiness Advantage, The 7 Principles of Positive Psychology That Fuels Success and Performance at Work, Sean Acher states, "Lower the activation energy for habits you want to adopt and raise it for habits you want to avoid." The more we can lower or even eliminate the activation energy for our desired actions, the more we enhance our ability to jumpstart positive change. Here's a trick that can help you put that statement into practice to avoid activities that don't add enough value to your life. It's the 20-second rule. For activities you shouldn't be engaging in or negative habits you want to break, add an element of difficulty to you starting that activity. You're sort of adding a 20-second roadblock, so to speak. As an example, if you're trying to lessen your use of social media, delete those tempting apps from your phone. Now it will take you another 20 seconds to find your laptop to access them. By adding an inconvenience, you'll be less likely to engage with that draining activity or habit. Next suggestion, stop doing everything yourself and start letting people help you. It's important for us to realize we can seek help when we need it. Sometimes it's impossible to do everything ourselves. It's better to let someone or a team share the work, giving you more time to focus on the most important tasks. Instead of wasting time and energy overloading yourself or trying to do it alone, let others share the burden and help. Consumers understand what they want and how they want it better than any marketer does. Did you know that, according to Octoly, a leading influencer marketing platform, user-generated videos are viewed 10 times more than brand-generated videos on YouTube? When seeking information about particular brands, according to BizarreBoys.com, a site that helps brands act on social media data to drive customer-centric change, 51% of Americans trust user-generated content. They trust it more than what they find on the brand's official website, 16%, or media coverage on the brand, 14%. In her book, Friend Influence, The Surprising Ways Friends Make Us Who We Are, Carla Flora quotes David Newell, PhD, a clinical neuropsychologist from Worcester, Massachusetts. She writes, "Just having friends nearby can push you towards productivity. There's a concept in ADHD treatment called the body double. Distractible people get more done when there is someone else there, even if that person isn't coaching or assisting them. So maybe, if your friends or coworkers can't help you, simply having them around can help you become more productive. My next suggestion is stop being a perfectionist. Here are some problems associated with being a perfectionist. They spend more time than required on a task. They procrastinate and wait for the perfect moment. In business, if it's the perfect moment, you're too late. They miss the big picture while focusing too much on the small things. A lot of times, we often wait for the perfect moment. In doing so, we end up missing it." Dr. Simon Sherry, a psychology professor at Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia, Canada, conducted a study on perfectionism and productivity. Dr. Sherry found a robust correlation between increased perfectionism and decreased productivity. He told University Affairs, Canada's number one source for university careers, "We found that perfectionism trips up professors on the way to research productivity. The more perfectionistic the professor, the less productive they are." All this leads up to that the perfect moment is now. Next, eliminate repetitive tasks by automating. Automation Anywhere, Inc. conducted a research study with a team of 5 people. The object was to see if they could reduce their time spent on repetitive tasks. After 2 months of working to reduce the time spent on these tasks, they were able to enhance their overall productivity by an average of 66%. One person reduced time spent on repetitive tasks from 70% to 10%. With automation so prevalent today, it is only our stubbornness which keeps us from automating those repetitive tasks. Today, whenever I find I've done something more than 5 times, I ask myself if I can find a program to automate it for me. You don't have to be able to code to automate your repetitive tasks. It's nice to have the skills or resources, but it's not a requirement. If you can't build it, buy it. People often forget that time is money. People usually do things manually because it's easy and requires almost no research. You can easily purchase software on the internet to solve almost all your problems. If you still can't find a solution, you can hire an expert to help you. Keep in mind that you need to spend money to make money, and that time is your most valuable commodity. My next suggestion to be more productive is stop guessing and start backing up your decisions with data. If websites can be optimized for search engines, you can optimize your life to grow and reach your maximum potential. There are countless research studies that can offer insight into optimizing your productivity. Did you know that most people are more easily distracted between noon and 4 p.m.? This was the conclusion that came from research shared by Robert Matchcock, an associate professor of psychology at Pennsylvania State University. Can't find data on a particular question you might have? Well, it doesn't take a lot of time to run a simple test and examine your own results. And my last suggestion is stop working and take some time to do nothing at all. Most people don't realize that when we're too focused on something, we're essentially locking ourselves in a box. That can end up being counterproductive to our work or the results we're chasing. It's important to walk away from work once in a while. Have some alone time, which is good for the brain and the spirit. This was the conclusion reached by Leon Nafak in his article for the Boston Globe entitled "The Power of Lonely." Here is an excerpt from that article. "One ongoing Harvard study indicates that people form more lasting and accurate memories if they believe they're experiencing something alone. Another indicates that a certain amount of solitude can make a person more capable of empathy towards others. And while no one would dispute that too much isolation early in life can be unhealthy, a certain amount of solitude can be shown to help teenagers improve their moods and earn good grades in school. It's important to take time for reflection. We often find the solutions we're looking for when we're not actively searching for them. It's also important to understand that we don't become more productive overnight. Like everything in life, it requires effort and practice. Change doesn't happen just by sitting around and waiting for it. Instead, take the time to learn more about your body. Find actionable ways to optimize your energy and time for a more successful and happier life. Does working less make you more productive? It may seem counterintuitive, but it's true. Working less can be more productive. Limiting your working hours to encourage you to work smarter, not harder or longer. This leads to great job satisfaction and lower stress levels. Not to mention, working less leaves more time to exercise and engage in activities that promote mindfulness, boost creativity, and foster resilience. This free time can help reduce how often you and/or your employees are sick and increase overall health and happiness, setting yourself and them up for the best work day in and day out. The advancement of AI technology is already helping us redress the balance and cut down our hours. We can automate many low-level or boring jobs, freeing up more time to focus on productive work. But it shouldn't end there. We already know that working too much can lead to insomnia, stress, anxiety, and many other serious health problems. Furthermore, having more time to spend doing things you enjoy makes you happy. Sometimes that's strongly linked to productivity. One recent study found that happiness boosted productivity by 12%. So if you want to work less but do more, where do you start? The most important thing to do is to gain insight into where your time is really going. You need to understand your own behavior, workflows, and routines. Find out where time is siphoned off from you, where you unconsciously waste it, which tasks get in the way of your real work, and when you're most productive. Automatic time tracking tools can show you all of this without any manual input, so you don't have to waste time getting to the bottom of your own productivity. But you should also try and cut down on the multitude of low-value, unproductive tasks that saturate your day. Outsourcing work is the best place to start. In the meantime, we can all conduct our own productivity experiments and try and make our time more accountable. Why work harder when we can work smarter? Balance benefits everyone. According to most studies, and most anecdotal evidence too, the more people find work-life balance, the more productive, creative, and happy they become. Helping yourself and your employees avoid overwork and disconnect from their jobs appropriately is a win-win. They and you will enjoy greater health, well-being, and job satisfaction, and you will see them and yourself do more of the best work in less time. Ultimately, the old saying is true. Less is really more. So let's start eliminating. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org, southeastnj.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.